way through, but I wanted to preach on chapter 3, and so I went back and just very quickly talked about in chapter 1, the single mind, chapter 2, the submissive mind, and then chapter 3, as we talked about last week, the spiritual mind. Then I want you to notice, one of the reasons why I'm going on in chapter 4, I want you to notice that very first word of chapter 4. Therefore. So you want to know what it's therefore, what it's there for. Amen. Wherefore, what is therefore there? Well, therefore, of course, takes us back to what we have studied previous to that, at least chapter 3, probably all the way back to chapter 1, all the principles and the precepts and the spiritual thoughts that Paul had given to us about the Christ life, the Christ as an example, and Christ as our goal. All those in the chapter. Christ is our life. We need to have that single mind. Christ is our example. We need to have that submissive mind. And Christ is our goal. We need to have that spiritual mind. Then here in chapter 4, he says, therefore, going back to those things that he's taught. In other words, if we apply those three mindsets, the single mind, the submissive mind, and the spiritual mind, and we walk according to those minds, those thoughts of life, according to God's will, through this world, we can claim something. We can claim the promises and the provisions of chapter 4 here. What Paul talks about, what God's going to do for us. We talked this morning about the fact that God blesses the nation. The nation's blessed whose God is their Lord. And we went through and we looked at these things. We looked at we're blessed because of God's Word. When we follow God's Word, we're blessed because of God's work, what He has done. And we look at the wonder of what God has accomplished and the things that we have in this life. And so, here Paul is simply saying to us, as he writes the letter to the Philippians, he said you need to have a single mind. You need to have a Christ life. You need to have that submissive mind. You need to use Christ as example, how he obeyed the Father, whatever the God the Father wanted done. I've come to do the will of my Father, the submissive mind, and the spiritual mind as well. That would be the goal. And if you do those things, chapter 4, he says, you're going to be blessed because of that. God's going to fulfill those promises and those provisions. And like this morning, we said, when we follow God's Word, we see God's work, and we look at the blessings of God, we should what? If we've gone away from that, we need to, as a nation, get back to that. If we want to continue to be blessed as a nation, and if we want to be blessed as an individual, or well, as the church, then we need to have this mindset that he's talking about here. The Christian that has a single, submissive spiritual mind can also know the joy and the peace of that fourth mindset. What is that fourth mindset? Well, it gives it here in chapter 4. It's the secure mind. S-E-C-U-R-E. The secure mind. In other words, he's saying Christ is our strength. Just like Christ is our life, Christ is our example, and Christ is our goal. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. The fourth chapter, he says, Christ is our strength. We can have that secure mind. It's not that we walk around cocky like we know it all and we have it all figured out, but we're just simply looking to the Lord. We realize that He is our life, He is our example, and He is our goal. And because of that, He can also be my strength. I can live the Christ-like life. I can have the blessings and the provisions and the promises of God. And therefore, I can have a secure mind because of that. He says in verse 13, Christ is our strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He didn't say I can just do all things. He said I can do it all. Why? Because Christ is my strength. He strengthens me. Now I want to give to you all I'm going to do tonight. I'm not trying to dissect everything here. But we live in a day of worry. We were talking about today. I was talking to somebody and they said how they went out and they took a week off and kind of a vacation and all that, and how good it felt and so forth. And others as well. I know the Fleeners, they've been very busy, both of them, and he's been very busy. So I'm hoping they can enjoy themselves this week. Get away from all the rigors that, you know, people need to do that, and I understand that. But we live in a life today, and we hear it all the time, people worry all the time. They're always worried. And I'd like to say I've got that all figured out, but no, I find myself worried too. I'm married. My wife was just laughing at me, I think, and so I tried to get her back a little bit. But no, we worry about our kids, we worry about our grandkids, we worry about the job, or we worry about something that broke at the house, or whatever the case may be. Something my wife said to me the other day. She said, "Water pressure isn't good." Oh, brother. Broken water line somewhere, you know. So I went in, where was it at? I'm in the bathroom. So I went in and unscrewed the filter thing and the end of the aerator and the thing and the end of there, and cleaned it out, got all the sand and all that out, put it back in, tried it, and it worked. Kitchen the same way. We had a new faucet put in when we had our countertop put in and everything, and they put a new sink and faucet in. So I had messed with it. So I thought, well, I better do it. So I found that little plastic wrench that they give you, and I unscrewed that one, and there was all kind of sand and dirt and stuff in it, and I cleaned that all out and put it back and got it back. You're always worried about something. Something's always going on. Something's always breaking. Something's always not working right. Like I said, family needs, problems, situations, this thing of worry. Christ is the remedy of your worry. And I want to show that to you tonight, if I can, in just a few moments that we have left. Paul, now remember, this prison letter, Paul's in prison. His future here on this earth is not secure. You remember I said, I want to talk to you about the secure mind. Well, his presence here on earth was not secure. But you know what? His future in the Lord could not be shaken. He had that secure mind. Whatever it is that might happen in my life, Paul's simply saying, I'm secure. Elizabeth Cheney, in a children's rhyme, said this. Said a robin to a sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I suppose that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. God cares for the sparrows, darling. He cares for those robins. Guess what? He'll care for you. I want us to look at that. Four remedies for worry. That's all I want to give you tonight. Because we're talking about a secure mind. Do you have a secure mind tonight? Notice the first one is God's presence. God's presence. I often pray for people when they're going through a difficulty, or I'm at the hospital, whatever. And I often, and you've probably heard me pray this, Lord, will your presence be with so-and-so? They need to know that you're here and you're with them. May you fill the room and they know the presence of God. Why? Because that secures them. That takes away the worry. The know that God is in control of this situation. God's presence. Notice verse 1 again. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You notice in verse 1, what's the first thing he tells them to do? He tells them to stand fast. He calls them my brethren. He calls them my beloved. He calls them my long for. I'm desiring to be with you. He calls them my joy and my crown. And then he says to that group, he says, stand fast in the Lord. What does that mean? It means to get your feet, so to speak, settled in there. Stand fast. Be firm in the Lord. Put your faith and your trust in God. What God? Joy Bay, what's her name? Bay something, The Five, The View. Have you, how many of you watched The View? Got one single guy over here. Kick him out of the church right now. We don't want him. Now, wait. No, not the Five and Five. No, Joy Behar, is that what they? Yeah, I think. Well, anyway, one of them, they brought the couple, the husband and wife that had a bakery, and they would, and two men came in and asked them to bake a wedding cake for them because they were getting married. And they said, sorry, we can't do that. And then they went out and sued and brought them to court, sued them and so forth. Because of that, and they went on that view with the five people there. That's kind of where you got messed up there. But I think it's called The View. And they went on that show. And I think it was that Joy Behar that said, do you think Jesus would have baked the cake for them? And the man said, no, I don't think he would. She said, oh, yes, he would have. Jesus would have baked the cake for him. And I agree the Jesus that she's talking about would have baked the cake for him. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's a problem. When people talk about God, you know, I've jokingly said, somebody says to you, I know your pastor, tall, dark, and handsome. Immediately you're thinking, you don't know my pastor. He's short, fat, and ugly, you know. No, that's not the same God. Sometimes when I hear people like that say things like that on TV or wherever, I'm thinking, well, it must be the God that you've made up in your mind. The God that you've figured out the way you think that God ought to think. We need to find out what the God of the Bible, the God of the Word of God says, because what He says matters. Not what the God that I want to come up with in my mind matters. I want to know what the God of the Word of God says. And so, we need to stand firm. Put our faith, our trust in the God. And when I say in God, what God? The God of the Bible. And therefore, we must, of course, know that word. Two things can discourage believers greatly. When we're talking about this remedy for worry, God's presence. And there's two things that can discourage believers in a great way. They see a Christian they look up to fail and fall and quit. And we've all, in some way or another, maybe said something we shouldn't have said, done something we should do and all that. I'm not necessarily talking about it. I'm just talking about they just got discouraged. They got away from God because they seen what somebody else said or what somebody else did, and they walk away and they quit. What a discouragement that is. But we need to put our trust not in a human being. We need to put our trust in God. God will never fail you. God will always be true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the God that you have. And don't let the failure of a fellow human being stop you from serving the Lord. Practice the presence of God in your life. And then there's a second one, believers fighting in the church. Now, somebody just told me about church, said there's a problem in a Sunday school, and the pastor talked to people, and she got mad, she left, the family left the church, and da-da-da-da, talking about other things that had happened and so forth. You know, the devil loves that, doesn't he? He loves to have us fighting and against one another. Listen, practice the presence of God. Stand fast in the Lord, it says here. Stand fast in the Lord. God's presence. He also said in verse 4, look at this, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, joy is really only something that God can give. We can talk about happiness, and of course, happiness comes from happenings. And when things are happening good, then, you know, we're happy, and things are happening that are bad, then we're not so happy any longer. That's happenings. That's the world out there and what happens to us in our life or someone that we love. But joy is something that only God can give. Someone asked, how are you doing? And someone says, well, not real good under the circumstances. And you know the answer to that, don't you? What are you doing under the circumstances? Under the circumstances? What are you doing under the circumstances? And the truth is, we shouldn't be under the circumstances of life. The joy comes from the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to always have a smile on your face, because that has a lot to do with happenings in our life. And sometimes bad things happen. I don't have to stand around smiling about it. But that should not rob me of my joy in the Lord. Because listen, whatever I'm going through, God goes through it with me. That's practicing the presence of God. So I can stand fast in the Lord. I can rejoice in the Lord. Practicing the presence of God. You got a problem with worry? God's with you. Practice the presence of the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Number two. Four things. So number two would be God's peace. God's presence, and now we have God's peace. What do you mean? Well, look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the, what? The peace of God, which is passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. God's peace in our life will help us with the worries of life as we practice the presence of God and the peace of God. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, we see we need to have right praying. Right praying. Verse 6 begins, be careful for nothing. Now the word there, careful, means would be anxious for nothing. Worried about what's going to happen next. So, be anxious, or don't be careful for those things. You're practicing the presence of God. You know who you can go to when the problems come your way. So don't be careful. Or in other words, don't get anxious about those things. What do you do then? Pray. Careful for nothing. Pray about everything. G. Campbell Morgan. Dr. G. Campbell Moore, great preacher of the past, was asked if we should pray about little things. Somebody came to him and said, should we pray about little things? And Dr. Morgan said, can you mention anything in your life that's big to God? Think about that. Isn't that true? What is it in my life that God looks at? Oh my, what am I going to do now? Nothing's too big for God. So no matter how little it might look in your life or how big the situation may be, you don't have to worry. You just go to the Lord. Pray about it. God wants to answer prayer. Notice in verse 6, he says, be careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Look at these things right here. First of all, there's adoration in verse 6. And that means to honor. He said, be careful not, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Enjoying the presence of God by worshiping Him. Then not only adoration, but there's appreciation and thanksgiving. In verse 6, thankful person is a happy, peaceful person. And the opposite of that is an unthankful person is a dissatisfied person. And there's no peace and there's no joy. Have you ever been around somebody that, you know, if you say black, they say no white. If you say white, then they say no black. If you say the glass is half full, they say no, the glass is half empty. You know, whatever it is, we want to complain about it. We'll gripe about it. We worry about it. Don't be that way. Honor the Lord. Appreciate with thanksgiving what God has done in your life. I'm not rich. I've been working on my first million and I didn't get it, so I forgot that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm starting on my second million. I want to work on it because I couldn't get that first million. No. Listen, I don't have a big home. I don't have fancy cars. I don't have fancy clothes. There's a lot of things I do not have, but I have a lot. And the greatest thing I have is the Lord. There's others who have all those things I just mentioned and they do not know God as their Savior. I wouldn't trade them for any of that in knowing the Lord. Adoration, appreciation, honoring, and thanksgiving. And then notice also, he said in verse 6 there, and supplication. You're making requests to God. Supplication. I read a story one time about a little boy, just a little small community. Everybody knew everybody. And one of the families there just love to entertain, and so they'd have different folks in and have a meal and so forth. And it kind of became a little ritual, a little habit that the little fellow that they had running around the house, everybody thought the world of him. It's kind of like the whole little neighborhood's little boy. And he would come in and he'd rattle his money box and the guest would reach over and put a coin or two in there. Just thing that they do, and he thought that was great, and he'd run back to his room and so forth. And one evening they had a guest from out of town, people that most people wouldn't know, but they were their guests, and they came and they had the dinner and afterwards and so forth. And the little boy came running out and he had his little box there and he rattled his box at the people. Well, they didn't know what was going on here. And it embarrassed the mom and the dad and the family. And then afterwards, later, the father took that little fellow aside, their son, aside and told him that he was never again to ask a stranger for anything. And they were strangers to him. Never asked a stranger for anything. If you have something that you need, his father said, you come to me and ask me. You know, that's exactly what God says. God says, you got a need? Come. Bring your supplication. Bring your request to me. Nothing could be more dishonoring, I believe, to God than His children begging someone else for what He, with joy, will be happy to provide for you. Go to the Lord in prayer. In adoration, in honor, in appreciation, in thanksgiving, and in supplication. make your request made known to God, it says here. You got a need? Don't worry about it. Don't stew about it. Don't figure out how am I going to make this work. Just go to the Lord about it. Over the years, I've had times when there was, finances were tough or whatever, and I've gone to the Lord about it, and I've never asked God to float money down from heaven. Never seen Him do that. And I've always said, Lord, I'm willing to work. Is there a job out there, something somebody needs done, some way I can be of help to them, and in turn, the need could be met here. God, if that's possible, and you know what? God always has blessed. I can tell you times when the phone rang and somebody said, hey, can you help in this way? And went over and helped. And then turned, God helped me through them as a need was met. So, God's presence and God's peace, we have to pray right. We have to think right. Notice verse 8. About the peace of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do not think on these things. Someone has suggested that 85% of the people don't think. And 15% of the people think they do think. And 5% of the people think. Sometimes. Right thinking. What is the product of right thinking? Well, the product here is peace. The peace of God. The power of right thinking, that's the product, peace. The power of right thinking. Positive thoughts. Now, I'm not one of those that preach power, positive thinking, and all that. But at the same time, we need to realize that God is able to provide. God will meet our needs. And in that way, as we think positive toward our God, it leads to a powerful life of encouragement and peace. A secure mind believes that I've got a God big enough and powerful enough that God wants to meet my needs. God wants to give me that peace in my heart. The power of right thinking. Wrong thoughts lead us to discouragement and unrest. So we need to have right praying, right thinking. Also we need to have right living. Notice verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, Paul said, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is trying to be a proper example to them. He said, listen, look at my life. What you've learned and what you have received and what you've heard and what you've seen in me, that's what you need to do. It's not because of Paul, but it's because of what God has done in Paul's life is what he's saying here. We need to have right living. So the product of right praying and the product of right thinking and the product that we need to have in living is the peace of God. James chapter 4, why don't you hold your place there, just flip back a minute if you like. You have to get past the book of Hebrews, and the very next book is the book of James. And if you look there in James chapter 4, James is writing to the believers here, and he says in James chapter 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? But for fussing and fighting, he says, come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? It's that selfishness that we have. Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. This is not talking about sexual adultery or adulteresses. It's talking about spiritual adultery. It's a wrong relationship in our Christian walk. Know ye not that friendship of the world, that's a bad relationship. It's enmity with God. It's talking about the opposition here, or the wrong position. Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. God doesn't walk with the world. And so when we're over here having a relationship with the world, then presence is not going to be with us in that, because God's not going to walk with the world. Can two walk together except they agree? And God doesn't agree with the philosophy of the world. So when we're over there, we're away from God and the presence of God. And therefore, we're away from the peace of God as well. Notice verse 3, he said, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss." Wrong praying. Notice verse 4. "Ye adulterers, adulteresses, ye know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God." Wrong living. Wrong praying, verse 3. Wrong living in verse 4. And look at this down in verse 8. "Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Notice the word double-minded. That's wrong thinking. So we have wrong praying, verse 3, wrong living, verse 4, and wrong thinking in verse 8. By the way, that same thing is said, if you remember, in James 1 and verse 8, a double-minded man, what is he? He is unstable in all his ways. You remember what God says to us? He said, "Stand fast," is what God is saying through Paul. And here, James says, listen, you're unstable in all your ways. If you're not thinking right, if you're not praying right, if you're not living right. So he says, listen, God's peace are to those who have right prayer, right thinking, and right living. Then back in Philippians chapter 4, number 3, talking about the four remedies for worry or the secure mind. Number one, God's presence. Practice the presence of God. Number two, God's peace. And number three is God's power. God's power. Sometimes we think big things happen in our life. Terrible things that happen that we don't know if we're going to make it through those things or whatever. Listen, we have a God of great power. So, we don't need to worry about that. God is able to deliver thee. God is able to meet that need, whatever it might be. Notice what he says there in verse 10 about God's power. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly," Paul says, "that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so he tells us in verses 10 through 12, he says, it brings satisfaction. Are you satisfied in life, or are you always dissatisfied in life? Do you have, "I don't have enough of this," or "I want more of that," or "boy, I'd like it to be this way in life"? Or are you willing to accept God's will for your life and what God wants for your life and practice satisfaction in your life? Or are we always looking to what everybody else has? "Boy, we'd like to have that." Whatever it might be. God brings satisfaction in our life. He brings contentment. Look at verse 12 again. "I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound, and everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He said, "I just need to be satisfied." Whatever God provides, whatever God thinks that I need, then that ought to be good enough for me. Brings satisfaction, God's power does. Brings strength as well, or sufficiency. That satisfaction is contentment. Contented with that which God has for my life. And that strength, brings strength, is God's sufficiency. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God's power brings satisfaction, that contentment in my life. It brings that strength or that sufficiency in my life. So, four remedies for worry. Number one is to practice God's presence. Number two, God's peace. And number three, God's power. Paul said, listen, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then last of all, God's provision. God's provision. Go all the way over to verse... Let's start at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He's saying that they are helping him in some way. They are providing for him. You communicated. Doesn't mean just to talk to them in that way, but the things that they've done. Notice verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's up above Greece there, and Philippi is up there, no church communicated with me in what way? As concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even the even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. He said, I wasn't any longer in Philippi. I was in Thessalonica, and you even sent over to me there those things that I desired. Verse 17, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound in your account. But I have all and abound. He said, I'm satisfied. I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's a picture of the gift that was sent. And many think Epaphroditus was probably the pastor or at least one of the main members of the church there in Philippi. And whatever they were sent to Paul, they give it to him, and he took it to the Apostle Paul. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then he gives the farewell to them. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and all the saints salute you chiefly that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Notice these four things real quick. We won't spend time on them. But I want you to notice, first of all, the man he's talking about himself. Look at verse 14 again. Now, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Notice verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Look at verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So he's talking about that which he received, God's provision that he received. But I want you to notice, how did he receive them? He received it through man, through that church, through those people, the people of the church, as they gave. You know, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. It shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. You know what the next thing says? Shall men give into your bosom. God doesn't have a printing press in heaven, and he sends down dollar bills or $10 bills or whatever to us. No, he works through others in that giving. God's provision to man, through man, but it's by God. Notice verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul was thankful for what the church at Philippi had done for him, but Paul understood that God was using the church at Philippi to meet his need. He knew he had a need, and God through man provided that need. And then, why was all this done? This is the fourth thing. The man, through man, by God, and the fourth thing is for God's glory. It wasn't for Paul. It wasn't for the church. If it was for the glory of God. Look at verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go over to Philippians 3 and verse 16. Philippians 3:16. We need to have the same mind. How can all of us here, about 15 of us here tonight, how can we all have the same mind? We all need to have the mind of Christ in everything. If you have the mind of Christ and I have the mind of Christ, then we have the same mind. And so we've been taught here through Philippians the single mind of chapter 1, the submissive mind of chapter 2, the spiritual mind in chapter 3, and the secure mind in chapter 4. And because we have that secure mind, then God blesses us that we don't have to worry about things. Our God is in control. That's good for the saved, but what about the lost? Look at chapter 3, verse 19. Or verse 18 says, for many walk of whom I have told you, often now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. Look at this. Who mind earthly things? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Don't have an earthly mind. Have thy heavenly mind. Have the mind of Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we love you tonight. We thank you for your blessings in our life, your work that you do in our life. Thank you for your precious word. We pray, Lord, that in some way you have reached out to us and touched our hearts. Maybe those who have had some worries this past week, things happening in family, friends, in the home, whatever it might be. It could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be financial, whatever it might be. But God, help us to have the secure mind. We are a child of God. God is our Father. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Heavenly Father, may we trust in you as Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and say, you can have a secure mind in Christ. So Lord, however you've talked to hearts, however you spoke to the mind of your believers tonight, and we need to respond, may we be willing to do so. May we've been concerned about a lost loved one. May we've been concerned about a family member going in the wrong direction. Not that they're out there doing real bad things, but they're just not doing the right things. They're not gaining the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ, living for God, doing those things that are right. May we need to come and pray for them. May we need to come pray for self. Certainly we could all come and pray for our nation, a nation with a great need right now. Lord, have your will in your way as we offer that invitation. May your will be done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.